Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about miracles as the true reality which is held, controlled, and governed by the divine law of perfection. Listeners, we explain the dynamics of spiritual healing as the new normal. In this show, we will explore the pragmatic application of the biblical term repentance, not as a plea for forgiveness, but to know the truth. Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and reveal the miracle of life. Swami, the title of today's show is Miracles Reveal the Divine Truth. So why that particular title? What would you like us to know about that?
Well, I think what we're trying to establish here is this idea of having a principle, principle-centered living. Here at Institute for Personal Development, we've been working with the mantra, how we think is what we become. And the statement can be seen from many different levels of consciousness and degrees of awareness. Beauty is always in the eyes of the beholder. Developing the capacity to perceive the divine creation and not stop at the mental, material, counterfeit image is what we are learning to do. This idea of stopping thinking and knowing the truth. You start with the divine creation, the perfection of being. Life is perfect. It's everywhere, always. And you start to challenge what it is we are perceiving with our corporeal senses. From that platform, we will start to see the miracle is the norm. The perfection of being is held, controlled, and governed by the divine law. And the mental material concept about that is backed by our belief in it. It's not a self-existent power like spirit.
So we believe miracles can't be explained by our mortal understanding of what is around us. So you're saying miracles are something that should be happening every day?
The miracle is the norm. The miracle is the truth of being. Here we're learning how to think differently. We're learning how to stop creating the false sense of existence, the mental material concept, and rest in the knowledge of the divine creation, which is everywhere, always.
So any of us are able to perform these miracles?
Well, like we say in the opening, the miracle reveals the divine creation. The divine creation is the only reality. What we're living in is not the divine creation. So that gives you the platform. Once you can start to challenge what it is you think you know, and you learn a different way, perceiving things with your seven spiritual senses, we're not accustomed to using the divine mind, we're accustomed to using the mortal mind. And so it's unfamiliar territory. And again, we don't have leadership in how to do this. And so as a result, we identify with what's safe, familiar, comfortable, and known, what's visible and tangible. But if we continue to try and figure out how the unreal became real, we stay in the trap. Jesus came 2,000 years ago to fulfill the law. And humanity for almost 300 years was starting to get the message. And then out of the persecution of the early Christians who were healing the sick, reforming sinners, raising the dead, came the church and the mortal concept about the message of the Christ, which doesn't demonstrate the divine law. And so we don't think it works because we don't know how it works.
So as we lift ourselves into these higher levels of consciousness, we'll be able to perceive the world around us as miracles all of the time.
We can believe in miracles or not, but to demonstrate divine law with scientific certainty, we must understand the operations of the divine principle and application of it. Jesus came to fulfill the law of the Pharisees. They didn't know the law. We must know the law and know this divine law. And to know this divine law, we must be able to differentiate between the spiritual from the material. And you can't do this with the mind we are using to get us through this lifetime. We had to be taught how to think differently, very differently, not thinking with your five corporeal senses, but activating spiritual sense.
Swami, I see that we have something here from Gilbert Carpenter, Mary Baker Eddy, her spiritual precepts. Would you like to read that for our listeners?
Yeah. If, as Christian Science teaches, man is in the kingdom of heaven now, what good does a knowledge of that fact do him unless he has senses that will bear testimony to it? In order to have that fact of any advantage to him, he must be able to cognize the wonders of spiritual harmony. Man is assured again and again in science and health that his true senses are spiritual. Hence, he must possess such senses as will bear testimony to his presence in heaven now. But through disuse, these senses have become atrophied, and it is man's task to resurrect them and bring them back to full activity as he blots out the opposite false material senses. End of quote. This is what we have been talking about pretty consistently in our shows, this idea of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. It's right now. But what we are looking at is our thought about that divine creation.
We have a soundbite from Herb Fitch, Revelation of St. John, Class 5A. Let's play that for our listeners.
Yeah, and if anybody is interested in the full audio file or the complete program, you can get this at mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
Jesus was never crucified, and that is why the third letter will be the turning point of the consciousness of the world. What did happen? Well, Shakespeare told us what happened. He said, all the world's a stage. And so it is. Our faithful martyr was an actor. And who was Jesus? An image in the actor's mind. We have learned that God is omnipresent. Do you not see that the murder of Jesus is the denial of omnipresence? Clearly, we can see that if Jesus was murdered that day, then God was not present. But you cannot remove the presence of God. God was present. God is ever present. The hypnosis of the human mind is the belief that the image, which we call body, is a physical reality. And the revelation that day was that all that was present on the cross in Golgotha and appearing as the multitude were mental images, images and thought. This was the externalization of the consciousness of the world at that moment. The world then thought that God was absent. And the acceptance of the crucifixion was the belief in the absence of God. The world still thinks God is absent. And it still externalizes murder, hate, violence, because those qualities which were in the consciousness of the world in that day are still in the consciousness of the world. And the very same qualities revealed then as the crucifixion of Jesus are revealed today as the murders that we see in war, even as the pollution of our water. You see, every impurity in the human consciousness has to externalize in an impurity in human condition. The Spirit is revealing that man has walked by and has done two other blunders beside the one. In addition to accepting a place where God's power did not exist and accepting the second power, which could crucify, man has then turned around and in his ignorance of the fact that there is no death possible in the presence of God, who is present everywhere, in his hypnosis, man now turns and says, not only did God become an accomplice to the crucifixion of Jesus, of his own son, but he did it for our good. He did it. He sacrificed his son to relieve us of our sins. That's the second blunder. And then the third proceeds from that. And so, to this God, which murdered his own son, we pray. It's rather pathetic.
He really lays out a very strong case against orthodox religious belief, which most of us have grown up with. Once you are able to challenge your beliefs, challenging your concept of God is not being unfaithful to God. Like Herb Fitch tells you, it removes the insult. We have this contradiction. We call God this mix of good and evil, this creature that rewards and punishes. God is absolute goodness. God is eternal life. The physics of that is the perfection of being cannot produce imperfection. An understanding of this law of one power that would help you build a foundation for a divine principle. Once you get beyond trying to understand this with the mortal mind, with the mind that can't bring forth the divine image, and you understand what in the Bible they mean by make thine eye single, and it's not just a word in a book for you, but becomes a state of being conscious of the divine truth, then you can start to test your belief.
So, Swami, how do you recommend that we test our belief?
Yeah, your belief should graduate to faith, where your belief in this divine principle begins to externalize. You're using the testimony of your corporeal senses as your monitor. Like Mary Baker Eddy says in her teaching, felt ye the power of the word? Can you say to the proud wave thus far, and it stops? The miracle is the revealing of the divine creation. We're not fixing a physical world. We're realizing the truth. Consciousness is experience, but the outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit become one when divine truth is the only consciousness. As long as we are thinking with our corporeal senses, we're drawing from duality. As Herb said, we're individualized by the world mind. And as long as we are accepting that as our reality, then we're in the trap. But it is our responsibility to come out of that. We have to separate from being individualized from the world mind and join with this divine omnipresence, with truth and wholeness. And when we do, we can start to externalize the physics of spirituality. Draw from fear and limitation. That's what you become. That's what you produce. But draw from truth and wholeness, and that's what you produce.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Institute for Personal Development Incorporated is a Kriya Yoga ashram offering yoga classes in all 8 stages of Kriya Yoga, including classes, personal training, teacher training, residential program, online live classes, and online products for self-discovery and transformation. Discover, learn, and practice one of the oldest and purest forms of yoga, Kriya Yoga, by uniting ancient religion with modern science. Visit www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, in the summary, we had explained that we were going to talk about the pragmatic application of the biblical term repentance, hoping that you can maybe shed some light on that for us.
Yeah, I think for a lot of us, we think repent means plead for forgiveness. But what I learned through Christian Science is a better interpretation of repentance is to think differently, to turn back. This idea of thinking with the 5 corporeal senses is a very limited function of human capability. That's one of the reasons why I use meditation. Mary Baker Eddy uses the term prayer. For her, prayer is communion with the divine. Joel Goldsmith uses the word meditate, which for me, meditation is the 7th stage of yoga. It's the 8th stage of Buddhism. The reason why I like the term meditation the way we use it is because you've got process here. You're employing strategies to initiate a process. Mary Baker Eddy defines the process as going from belief to faith to understanding. In Kriya Yoga, we take the same process and we explain it going from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness. It's all language, but what we're trying to do is not so much have the promise of Scripture, but we want the God experience. We want to know the truth. We want to be able to demonstrate the omnipresence of this divine creation. And if it's right here, it's right now, and it's functioning, why am I unable to know this to be true? And from my experience, you're going to find is that you're trying to get your email with a calculator. You're in the wrong self. You're using the wrong mind. You don't know the truth because you have not developed the capability of perceiving things with your spiritual senses.
It's interesting. You were just reminding me of one of the movies we see about Jesus and John the Baptist continually is saying, repent, repent, repent. And we don't understand what it is that he was meaning by that.
But this is where we are collectively. Now, what Herb Fitch is talking about here is bringing humanity to this level of consciousness. Mary Baker Eddy started the movement. She resurrected the teachings of the Christ. But again, it seems like humanity is losing it. Now, what we try and do with these shows is we try and encourage people to challenge what you're doing because we're inundated with the information that is coming from the side of the equation that is false. It's not real. We're trying to preserve this mortal sense of life. We're trying to improve it. Why bother? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Bible tells you to put off the old man. Put on the white robe, the raiment of the divine self.
So, could you please explain to us what you mean by the saying that you use all the time, the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness?
Yeah, the testimony of your senses, the physical body, the physical world has a purpose. Without it, we would not know what we were conscious of. We're here to work out our salvation. We're here to glorify the Creator, to be that place where divine truth expresses itself through you as you. What we do have here is another soundbite from Herb Fitch, Revelation of St. John, Class 5A. And if anybody is interested in the full audio file or the complete program, you can get this at mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
To accept the crucifixion of Jesus as the activity of the false consciousness of the world, externalized, thought externalized, revealing the consciousness of the world as separate and apart from the consciousness of God. And we are told to come forth and be separate from that consciousness. We can turn from the facts and we can think there was a body there named Jesus and that body was crucified. And the moment you do that, you are denying the presence of God there at the same time. Could God be present and a killing take place? And then you see a remarkable thing. The five senses of man saw the crucifixion. Who saw the resurrection? Only 500. 500 or so who had come into the five senses of spirit saw that no crucifixion had ever taken place. There needn't be a resurrection if there's no crucifixion. They saw that which could never be killed. They saw the spiritual body that was ever there. And the revelation then of the crucifixion of the image called Jesus is that the spiritual form ever there could not be crucified. And only the spiritual form was there. Only the spiritual form of Antipas was there. Only the spiritual form of Pilate was there. Only the spiritual form of the multitudes was there. There is not a physical body and a spiritual body. There are images. So we're being led to a new concept of body. God is not in the body of Jesus. If God were in the body of Jesus, could that body be crucified? No. And therefore, the body that was crucified with God not in it was not a divine creation. That which was not a divine creation was not created. It was an image in thought. The faithful martyr was an image, and the so-called victim was an image, and the world of human bodies must now be seen as something else. You can learn that your physical body is but an image of your consciousness, and that it is your conscious concept about your spiritual body. Your spiritual body is all you have. You have a body, but this isn't it. You have a spiritual body. And this is the mental image you entertain about that spiritual body. That is why you had to learn you must rise above the five-sense world. In the five-sense world, you will ever identify the forms as physical form. You must, because you are bonded to your senses and they are the creator of the physical forms. But the crucifixion teaches us that the only body present there was the spiritual body of Christ, which could not be crucified. And the murderer of that image is called my faithful martyr, which certainly tells you that we were seeing a cosmic teaching leading us to the next consciousness on this earth, the consciousness of my spiritual body, and the graduation from the false concept of body, which we have entertained as a physical thing.
Swami, so Herb Fitch says that we can learn that the physical body is a mental image. So how do we go about doing that?
Yeah, if you think about everything that he's saying here, ultimately you see as the physical body through its problems forces you to make a change in your concept. Each time your invisible body, your spiritual body, coming through your human consciousness is reproduced inadequately in the image form, you have to make the adjustment. And ultimately, your human consciousness will be one, reaching into the infinite consciousness. And as it is one with the infinite consciousness and your individual consciousness become the one divine consciousness individualized, and then outpicture this form, this image body, in a greater degree of harmony. What we're basically learning here is to use your mind-body complex as your laboratory. Now, what we want to understand is there's ways of doing this mentally where we can use thought and belief. But this is not what Herb Fitch is talking about. This is not the kingdom of heaven. Changing finite bad to finite good, you're still under the law of karma. You still are working with a belief in two powers. And you have to be very careful because in Kriya Yoga, we're looking for liberation, freedom from the law of karma. We want to move into the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is under the government of divine law, one power. It's not a temporary sense of life. It's eternal life. It's not mental, material, mortal life. It is eternal, spiritual life. This is what we're aspiring to know about ourselves. And we have to educate our thought up to spiritual apprehension. That's why yoga is a path of action. It's a path of knowledge. It's a path of devotion. To demonstrate divine law with scientific certainty, to reveal the miracle of life, its caterpillar, chrysalis, butterfly. And the human in the adult state has options the human in the larvae state doesn't have. And it's very easy to think that you are spiritual and at the same time not under the government of this divine law. And until you have walked reason through the open door of revelation, you walk defenseless among these non-existent powers that can seem to kill you.
So when we talked about earlier, how we think is what we become, and that's been our mantra for 34 years with Institute for Personal Development. So what do you recommend should be one of the very first things that we should do to start the process?
Well, for me, you must believe in the divine creation. Jesus tells you, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Know the truth. And to know this truth, you must know God aright. You can't have a principle that is a mix of good and evil. You must understand the purity of the divine principle, its absolute goodness, its eternal life without opposite. To believe in this principle puts you on a level playing field because whether you realize it or not, you believe in matter. You believe in two powers. You believe in duality. Belief is the vestibule of starting this change. You challenge your beliefs, and then you start to work with a principle and make sure your principle is pure. And you don't want to just talk about this. Once you put healing on the table and you see that spirit is a demonstrable principle, it's a law, but you must be conscious of it to activate it in your experience, gives you a platform. And then what surrounds you is within you. Start using your experiences until you can start to see your belief in this divine truth has a profound effect on what you're experiencing. Then your belief has graduated to faith, and you continue to work with this at that level until your faith graduates to understanding. And at that level of understanding, you will now demonstrate divine law with scientific certainty. You will reveal the divine creation. You're not fixing a mental material world of energy. There is no mental material world of energy. Spirit is the only self-existent power in this universe.
Well, that closes our show for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can press that will further your understanding. Swami, any final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and reveal the miracle of life. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.